If you should take it to the Lord in prayer, do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer.
Oh yeah. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Please be seated. Oh, what a blessing to have such a friend as Jesus. I like what he said there in John chapter 13, I believe. He said to the disciples, I call you not servants, but I called you friends. Amen? He says, because a friend makes known what he's going to do. He's the best friend you could ever have. Where would we be without him? Glory to God. Let's grab our Bibles tonight. And don't forget, we'll be celebrating the Lord's table first Sunday of April. That's just a few weeks away. It's always a special service when we celebrate the Lord's table. And Wednesday night, of course, we'll have be back in the book of Colossians. We're going expositionally, verse by verse, through the book of Colossians. And I'll tell you, this Wednesday night is going to be something special, because we're coming to verse 14 of chapter 2 in the book of Colossians, and it speaks about Jesus Christ spoiling principalities and powers. Amen? He defeated the devil for you and me. I'm so glad of that. Wow. All right, praise the Lord, people. Are you ready? Are your spiritual seatbelts buckled? Praise the Lord. By way of review, we've seen in our studies over the past 7 weeks, in our first seven messages, that we're dealing with four geographic locations when we speak of the second advent, the second coming of Messiah. Megiddo. We've got Babylon. We've got Ground Zero, which is Jerusalem. And we've got Basra. All four of these vicinities are involved in the second coming of Christ. Now, week one, we saw the assembling of the armies of Antichrist. Where?
Babylon.
Megiddo. Oh. Megiddo, week one. Later. In Megiddo, they gathered all over the world. Somebody doesn't like what I'm preaching here. Praise the Lord. I'll clean this up afterwards. Oh, you know what? One of my... Yeah. Well, we had a... That's not half bad. We had a gal, when I was in Bible college in 1988, had a mission trip to Africa. And one of the gals that were in Bible college, she went. It's still recording, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. And she went to on the missions trip to Africa, and they had her teach the kids Sunday school. And she probably had 200 little African kids that she was teaching about Jesus. And she said, she gave this testimony in the church. And she said, I got up, and as soon as I opened my Bible, the pulpit flew. Flew!
Wow.
There was not a ripple of wind, nothing. And the pulpit flew and crashed down on its side.
Wow.
The demon just knocked it right over. You know? So, glory to God. The enemy doesn't like when you talk about Jesus coming, because he knows it's his demise.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Secondly, not only the assembling of the armies of Antichrist at Megiddo, secondly, we saw the destruction of the Antichrist headquarters. Where?
Babylon.
Babylon, 200 miles to the east of Megiddo. Thirdly, we saw the fall of Jerusalem, which the Lord will allow Jerusalem to fall to the armies of Antichrist after they wipe out a bunch of them, in order to get the Jews to do what?
Surrender. Repent.
Yes, to surrender, to repent, and to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, their Messiah King, as we have already. It's going to take 7 years of great tribulation, folks, for them to do that, but he will bring them to their knees. Fourthly, we saw the armies of Antichrist gathered to Basra, south, about 60 miles from Jerusalem, a place called Basra in Edom, Selah Petra, all that, down there in Edom, modern-day Jordan, southern Jordan. And the Jews will flee to Basra at the time where the Jerusalem falls to the armies of Antichrist.
There, they will be sheltered supernaturally. And something else will happen there. Week 5, we saw the national regeneration of Israel in week 5. Where? In Bozrah. Because they were surrounded by all of the armies of the world who will swear allegiance to the beast, the Antichrist. And when they surround them, if it wasn't for Messiah coming down, they would annihilate every Jew. They just chop them to pieces, what these terrorists do today. So, week 6, we saw the second coming of Jesus, where he actually comes down to the earth. It's not until the sixth stage of Armageddon that he comes down to the earth. And what does he do? He rescues the Jews in Bozrah from the Antichrist and his armies. A sword's coming out of his mouth and they're going down. Right? Now, the reason Messiah comes down in stage 6 is because of stage 5. The Jews get saved, they get regenerated as a people group. Every Jew gets saved at that time. That's why Paul said, all Israel shall be saved. He wasn't saying every Jew is going to heaven. If they're not saved, they go to hell, just like a lost Gentile. But at this point, at the end of the tribulation period, every Jew will become saved, okay? Then, because they're now his people, redeemed, he's justified in coming down to rescue them from the Antichrist, just like he's going to rescue us from the tribulation period by rapturing us up. 7th, last week we saw the battle from Bozrah to the Valley of Jehoshaphat. Now, I didn't include the Valley of Jehoshaphat as a 5th location because it's right outside Jerusalem by the eastern wall. You can see the Valley of Jehoshaphat from the eastern gate. Now, at that stage, the fighting is so intense. Messiah is destroying so many soldiers of Antichrist that the Bible says the blood will rise to the level of the horse's bridles. That's 4 feet, biblically. That's a lot of blood. It's a river of blood. And that's because of the destruction that will come upon the Antichrist and his armies. Open up to the book of Zechariah tonight, beloved. Zechariah chapter 14. We have an incredible study tonight. That intro brings us to the 8th stage of the second coming of Christ. The 8th stage, and it is titled, for lack of a better title, I've titled it, The Victory Ascent Up the Mount of Olives. It's going to be good. Look with me in Zechariah chapter number 14. Zechariah is an incredible book of the Bible. It gives us graphic detail of the second coming. Amen? I mean, it talks about some things in there that just shake you in your boots. It's coming. All right. After the 7th stage of the second coming is completed, all of the fighting and bloodshed is now done. Okay? They're all those soldiers are wiped out. The battle's over, and it's time for the 8th stage, the victory ascent of Messiah up the Mount of Olives. Now, I want you to get the picture of what we're about to read. The Mount of Olives, here's Jerusalem, okay? Ground zero. Ground zero is always Jerusalem. To the east, which for you would be over here, because they're looking backwards. To the east of Jerusalem is the Valley of Jehoshaphat, right? Here's Jerusalem, here's the Valley of Jehoshaphat, pretty long valley. And right here, there's a mountain. It's called Mount Olivet, or the Mount of Olives, okay? That's where Jesus went up in after his first advent, when he turned to heaven, he went from the Mount of Olives. That's where he will return, okay? After destroying all these guys in the Valley of Jehoshaphat, here's what Jesus does. Here's Jerusalem, here's Jehoshaphat, and here's the Mount of Olives in the middle. To get to Jerusalem, what's he got to do? Right! He's got to go ascend the Mount of Olives. You know what he's going to do? He's going to walk from the Valley of Jehoshaphat, leaving them all dead in his path, all the enemies of the Jews, and he's going to walk up the Mount of Olives, and he's going to stand on the top, and when his feet hit the top of the Mount of Olives, it's going to split down the middle. Man, oh man, Holiday Inn? 3 years ago, they sent a survey team to Jerusalem. They said, we want to build a beautiful Holiday Inn on Mount Olivet. So they sent a survey team, and they brought some scientists with them. And they said, boys, we can't do it. And they said, why? They discovered a seismic fault line inside the Mount of Olives. They said, if an earthquake hits, that thing's going to split down the middle. Hello? Lost scientists said the Mount of Olives will split down the middle one day. The Bible is so far ahead of these guys, it's not even funny. Amen? All you gotta do is read the Bible. We don't need to send people over there. We already know it's gonna split, because the Bible says so. Now, in Zechariah chapter 14, I want you to see this victory ascent. Look with me in verse number 1. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh. Let me tell you, what is the day of the Lord? Wouldn't that refer to the tribulation period? The wrath of God coming down upon planet Earth? The day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I, this is God speaking, I will gather a few nations. No, wrong version. I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. Now, this time out, stop reading. This is interesting to me. Because God says he's the one gathering all these armies from all over the world to come against his people. He's saying, come on, boys. Roll up your sleeves. Bring your nukes with you. Bring your bazookas. You're going to need them. Come on. And the Lord says in verse 2, I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. Why would he do that? And the city shall be taken. That's stage 4. Remember that? The fall of Jerusalem. The houses rifled, the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity. Bozrah, remember? He's talking about what we've studied. And the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. What city? What city? Jerusalem, verse 2 says. Right? Jerusalem. Half of the Jews remain in Jerusalem under siege. Half of them flee to Bozrah. Then, verse 3, this is stage 6. Then shall the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's the Son of God. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. He says, you remember when Pharaoh wouldn't let my people go? And the Lord rolled up his sleeves and came down and he opened up the Red Sea and he destroyed all of the enemies of Israel, didn't he? He's going to do it again. Verse 4. And not only that, after he destroys them all, verse 4, here's what I want you to see. And his feet, the feet of Jesus Christ, shall stand in that day. That's the last day of the tribulation period. Upon the Mount of what? Olives. The Mount of Olives. We know where it is. We know where this is going to happen. Right on the border of Jerusalem. Which is before Jerusalem on the east. Notice that. It's on the east side of Jerusalem. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley. And half of the mountain shall remove toward the north and half of it toward the south. Can you imagine this picture? Wow! A mountain splitting in half and moving at the presence of Jesus Christ. Folks, we serve a mighty God. Wow. He's a supernatural Savior. This passage is often used, beloved, as evidence that the second coming will initially occur at the Mount of Olives. But this is incorrect. Listen, I taught that myself for years until the Holy Spirit showed me right. Actually, it will culminate. His second coming will culminate at the Mount of Olives. Listen now. After the devastation of all of the enemies of God's elect nation Israel, first, earlier in this same context, Zechariah said, look with me, go back to chapter 12, I want you to see this with your own eyes. First, in Zechariah chapter 12, he stated that the Lord Messiah will save the tents of Judah first, prior to saving the Jews that are in Jerusalem. Look at it, verse 6, 12:6. In that day, there's that terminology again. In that day, the last day of the tribulation period, will I make the governors of Judah. Now, somebody tell me, what is Judah? Judah is the surrounding geographical area outside of Jerusalem, right? It's the southern kingdom. That's Judah, the wilderness of Judea. Okay? So it's the Jews that are living outside of Jerusalem he's talking about in verse 6. I'll make the governors of Judah like an heart of fire. Among the wood, they're going to burn somebody up. And like a torch of fire in a sheaf. And they shall devour all the people round about. Question, who are the people round about in verse 6? Context, It's the armies of Antichrist, right? And look what it says, they're going to devour, the Jews are going to devour them. Round about on the right hand and on the left. And Jerusalem, see how the little and there, that's a second geographical area. And Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem. And the Lord also shall save the tents of Judah, the wilderness, first. Notice, there's two destructions happening here. First, it's happening outside of Jerusalem, Valley of Jehoshaphat. Anybody? That the glory of the house of David, Jerusalem, and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do not magnify themselves against Judah. See, if he came into Jerusalem first, then the Jews in Jerusalem would say, ha, we're special. You guys out in Judah, you're going to die. No, he saves them outside of Jerusalem first, the Jews outside. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David. David was a warrior. David never lost a battle, though he lost one at home with Bathsheba. And the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them. He's saying they're going to be like angelic powers fighting against those soldiers of Antichrist, destroying them. Amen? So, first of all, we see that the culmination of the second coming will be the Mount of Olives, not the initial touchdown of Jesus Christ. Secondly, notice that in chapter 14, back to chapter 14 now, look at verse number 3. The prophet speaks here of a fighting that will occur outside of Jerusalem from Bozra all the way up to the Valley of Jehoshaphat. Look at that in verse 3. Then shall the Lord go forth. When shall he go forth? When his people are down in Bozra. He's got to go down there and rescue them. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. Now, he fights starting from Bozra, and the battle takes place all the way up. They're dropping like flies all the way up to the Valley of Jehoshaphat. How do we know that? It's only after the fighting of verse 3 is completed that Messiah's feet will stand upon the Mount of Olives in verse 4. You see that? There's a chronological sequence of events taking place. And the Bible can be very confusing if you don't get the sequence right. It goes from, it's like he's doing a circle. Megiddo, and Babylon, Jerusalem, Bozra, and then back up to Jerusalem. Now, something else, along with this victory, the victory is sent upon the Mount of Olives, a number of cataclysmic events will occur as the Great Tribulation period comes to an end. These cataclysmic events will be a result of the seventh vial judgment being poured out. Go with me to Revelation. I want you to see this. As Messiah attacks the armies of Antichrist in the Valley of Jehoshaphat, and then comes up the Mount of Olives, there's going to be a shaking like there's never been in the world. Because he is proclaiming universal victory for the church, amen, and for the Jews that get saved. Look with me in Revelation chapter 16. Don't miss this. Cataclysmic events will take place here. Chapter 16. Now watch the chronology. This is accurate as far as historical prophetic sequence goes. Look with me in verse 17. Verse 17. He says, now let's back up to verse 13. When the sixth vial is poured out from verse 12, verse 13 says, three unclean spirits, demons, like frogs, come out of the mouth of the dragon, the mouth of the beast, the mouth of the false prophet. That's the satanic trinity right there. Everything God does, he imitates. For they are the spirits, demons, of devils working miracles. Notice that. You got to be careful about all these miracles going on today, because the devil can give you miracles, but they're not of God, right? Working miracles, which go forth, these demons, they go forth under the kings of the earth, all of the presidents, the leaders, and of the whole world. Why? To gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty, the battle of Armageddon. The demons of Satan will gather all of the armies of the world to Israel, for this battle of Armageddon. Okay? Now, drop with me down to verse number 17. And the seventh angel poured out his vial. Folks, this is the final vial. This is the final judgment. Bad things are about to happen on planet Earth. The seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done." And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. I'm going to show you in a minute what's going to trigger that earthquake. Okay? It's not a nuclear bomb either. And the great city, what's the great city, someone?
Jerusalem
was divided into three parts. Notice, this earthquake is so huge, it splits the city of Jerusalem into three parts. And the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came into remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. God's wrath coming down. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And we'll talk about that in a minute. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven. Every stone about the weight of a talent. That's 120 pounds. That's some big hailstones, eh? And men blasphemed. Look at this. And men did what? Blaspheme God. Instead of repenting, they're cursing his name. Because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. Now, look at verse 11. Look at verse 11. 16:11, by the way. Watch those 16:11s in the Bible too. And they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores and repented not of their deeds. Can you imagine this? Beloved, this boggles my mind. That after 7 years of tribulation on planet Earth, they still won't repent. I'm here to tell you tonight, folks, that there are certain people that are so given to evil that no matter what, when Jesus Christ shows up, they still won't repent. They blaspheme his holy name. Now, notice the word blasphemy in verse 11. See that? They blaspheme the God of heaven. Go to verse 21. Men blaspheme God because of the plague of the hail. Let me ask you a question. What is the penalty for blasphemy in the Old Testament? Lucas.
Stoning
to death. Right? You know why that's in the Bible? Because God is going to stone them to death for blasphemy. I didn't make that up, folks. It's in the Bible.
Well, they can't.
And when God stones, time out. When God stones somebody, he does it with 120 pounders. When that comes down on your head, you're not getting up. Blasphemy, stone them to death, the Bible says. God says, okay. Why? They're still blaspheming his name here. Now, notice this in verse 17. The words, "It is done." You see that at the end of the verse? This is a declaration from heaven that the 7-year tribulation period is over. It's a done deal. This is the final day. When the voice from heaven says, "It is done," it's all over with. You're either going to heaven or you're going to be cast into a lake of fire. Secondly, this declaration is followed by convulsions of nature, including the highest magnitude earthquake ever to occur in the history of the world. It'd probably be about, on the Richter scale, about a 22. Off the chart, man. You can't even measure this one because it's going to split lands in half. Look at verse 18. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. It's bigger than any in history. Glory to God. Now, question. What will cause this earthquake? What will cause this earthquake? What will trigger it? Anybody? Look at verse 4.
The earth goes into convulsions, you say.
Yep, but there's a reason. Go back to Zechariah chapter 14. Just go to Matthew and turn back a couple pages. You'll be there. In Zechariah chapter 14, I want everybody to see this in their Bible. What's going to trigger this earthquake? You're going to love this. It's not the San Andreas.
I'll there.
You got it. It's not the San Andreas fault that's going to cause it. Look at it. In Zechariah chapter 14, look at verse 4. And his feet, whose feet? Who? The Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. His feet shall stand in that day. Notice he's pointing to a single day, the last day of the tribulation. Upon the Mount of Olives, which is in Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley. It's going to create a valley into which the remnant of the Jews will run. And let me show you the picture here. Jesus Christ goes up to the top. And when he gets up to the top, he goes, boom. And the mountain goes, what? Right down the middle. Slits in the middle. And he says, come on in, boys. 1 foot on each side. This is the Messiah. And here come the Jews. They're coming underneath. Now let me ask you a question. All of the saved Jews, they come into the valley that was just created by Jesus touching down on the Mount of Olives, spiking off this earthquake, right? Jesus' feet touched it off. And they come in there, and now Messiah is over them, and they're all under him. Let me ask you a question. What's going to hurt them? What's going to come against them now?
Nothing. Absolutely.
You got to go through Jesus to get to them. And I'm here to tell you tonight, beloved, you got to go through Jesus to get to you, and you and you. Because he is your Savior. Amen? Look at this, verse 5. And ye shall... this is good stuff. Ye shall flee to the valley of the mountain. See that? And for the valley of the mountain shall reach unto Aziel. Yea, ye shall flee like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come and all the saints with thee. Let me ask you a question, church. In verse 5, you see the last words? Who are the saints? I love it. You're paying attention. It's us, church. We're coming back with Jesus. I'm going to get you excited tonight because we...
Jesus is bigger than normal, too.
Oh, you remember when Oral Roberts said he saw a 900-foot Jesus? Huh? These people are going to see one. Yeah, he ate too much pepperoni pizza that night, I'm telling you. The reason I say that is because Jesus isn't on earth to see with your naked eyes. Jesus, my Bible tells me, is seated in heaven at the right hand of the Father. And he won't show up on earth until the end of the tribulation period. So don't listen to Oral Roberts, whatever you do. All right. Thirdly, back to Revelation chapter 16. Notice how this is coming together. The script, that's why we need the whole Bible. Amen? Verse. Look at Revelation chapter 16 again. Look at verse number 19. Somebody read that for us. 19.
And the great city was divided into three parts. And mm-hmm. The cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath.
Question. Babylon? Wasn't that the headquarters of Antichrist?
Yes.
Wouldn't that represent all of the beast worshippers?
Yes.
Wouldn't that represent all those who received his mark either in their hand or on their forehead? And he says, they are now going to receive the full, look at it, verse 19, the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Whoa, that's bad news for these people. They refuse to repent. He's stoning them to death with hailstones from heaven, 120 pounds. And now they're going to receive the wrath of God in hell. And at the end of the millennium, in the lake of fire, which is eternal. Fourthly, tonight, listen, verse 19 also states, fourthly, that Jerusalem will be split into three divisions. See that in verse 19? Three parts. Then, fifthly, many geographical and topographical changes, modifications will take place on the earth. Look at verse 20. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. That's topographical modification. That's when the landscape is changed by the Messiah. You know what he's doing? He's preparing the land to set up his kingdom. Because his Mount Zion, during the millennium, is going to be higher than any mountain on planet Earth, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 4, verse 3. Isaiah 2, verse 3. And the mountain of the Lord's house shall be higher, exalted above all the mountains of planet Earth, it says. Glory to God. So he's making geographical, topographical modifications to the landscape of planet Earth. I mean, incredible things are taking place here, folks. Sixthly, hailstones weighing 120 pounds will fall from the sky, destroying the blasphemers. You find that in verse 21. Now, not only will Jerusalem be split into three divisions at this point, but the Mount of Olives itself will split in half, creating a valley running east to west, according to Zechariah. And in this newly formed valley, a way of escape will be provided for the Jewish remnant in Jerusalem as the city is destroyed by the earthquake. Think of it. Messiah's feet will set on each half of the split mountain as the Jews run into it, looking up to their Savior. What a picture! I love it. Seventh, another cataclysmic event will occur at this time. This is the fifth and final worldwide universal blackout. Go with me to Matthew chapter 24. We need the whole Bible. Matthew 24, as we know, is a tribulation period context. You are not there. The elect he's speaking of is the elect nation, not the elect bride. You're the elect bride. But the elect nation will be there, Israel. Why? Because they did not repent and get saved during the church age. Therefore, they're going into the tribulation period. At the end of the tribulation period, they will be saved. Look with me here in Matthew chapter 24. The context is clear. He says, look at verse 29. Immediately, that means right away, after the tribulation of those days, after the 1260th day, right? The Great Tribulation is 1260 days, 3.5 years. After the 1260th day of those days, shall the sun be what? Darkened. No sunlight. And the moon shall not give her light. Blackness. And the stars shall fall from heaven. And the powers of the heavens, those are demonic principalities and powers, shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Verse 29 speaks of a fifth universal blackout on planet Earth. Now, we're not talking about a blackout like we have, folks, where the lights go out. And, you know, you just light a candle or a torch. We're talking about a blackout that you can't see the hand in front of your face. You can't see nothing. It is pitch black, showing them where they're heading, into darkness. Glory to God. All right. The blackout, this blackout, I should say, and this great earthquake are also described for us. Both of these events are described. Go with me to Joel. Joel, chapter number 3, speaks of both these events in the same passage. In Joel, chapter number 3, just after Hosea, just before Amos. If I could find those, I'd be all set, you said. Joel chapter 3, look at this. Now the context of Joel chapter 3 is the second advent, the coming of Messiah, right? To rescue the Jews and to set up his kingdom. In Joel chapter 3, look what the Bible says here by the Holy Ghost in verse 14. Multitudes, multitudes, where? In the valley of decision. They've got a decision to make. Am I going to go with Jesus, the Messiah, or am I going to follow the beast and receive his mark? For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Watch it, verse 15. The sun and the moon shall be what?
Darkened.
Darkened. Blackout time. And the stars shall withdraw their shining. There's no light, man. Nothing. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from where?
Jerusalem.
And the heavens and the earth shall shake. There's the earthquake. But the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of who?
Israel.
Folks, you can't miss this unless you do it on purpose. Verse 17. Look with me at verse 17. So shall ye know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling where?
Zion.
That's Jerusalem, Zion. My holy mountain, Mount Zion, right in the middle of Jerusalem. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall be no strangers pass through her any more.
Why? Messiah is setting up his kingdom. He's not going to allow any strangers, any enemies of Israel to come against her anymore for 1,000 years. At the end of the 1,000 years, yes,
Satan will come with another army. We'll talk about that a few weeks down the road. But don't worry about that right now. There's going to be perfect peace in Jerusalem and all over the world during that thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ. The wolf shall lie down with the lamb. The lion with a little child can walk up to a lion and just smack him on the nose. Yeah, do nothing. Touch up. Poisonous snake. Bad idea, you to bite me. Just kind of, you know.
Can't hurt you. After the millennium, is it Satan will try and attack the Jews again?
Yes, but that's a whole other message, which I will get to.
Okay.
They will attack. They will attack again.
Will he use people that were born during the millennium or the people that were in hell?
Now you're talking business. It's going to be... Now listen, folks. I don't want to get ahead of us. We're going to see this next week. There are going to be survivors. After this last day of the tribulation period, there are going to be human beings that survive. They hid in caves and rocks and who knows where, underground. But they're going to come up and they're going to be alive, not saved. They're going to go into the millennium, not saved. You know what they're going to do? They're going to repopulate the earth from all the dead bodies. First, they're going to bury everybody. They're going to repopulate the earth. They estimate the world population is going to be somewhere between 20 and 30 billion. During the millennium. Why? There's not going to be any war. The Bible says there'll be worldwide peace. No bloodshed. And people will live hundreds of years. The elements will be perfect conditions like before the flood. It never rained because they didn't need rain. It was a mist. Folks, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but that's a good question, brother. And we're going to address all that. And at the end of that 1,000 years, millions of those people born in the millennium will go with Satan again and attack Messiah and his people in Jerusalem again. Some people never learn. Wow. Okay, now, in closing, with the enemies of Israel defeated in the Valley of Jehoshaphat, the blackout universal will occur in verse 15. The great earthquake is seen in verse 16. The refuge of escape created by Messiah's feet splitting the Mount of Olives in two is seen clearly in verse 16. So in closing tonight, let me give you this. With the saving of the Jewish remnant at the Mount of Olives, the Great Tribulation and campaign of Armageddon will come to an end. Finally, Jesus Christ will set up his millennial kingdom on earth, where he shall rule and reign in peace for 1,000 years. Go with me to Zechariah. We'll finish up. Zechariah, just before Malachi. That's Malachi for you Italians. Zechariah. You'll get that in a minute. Zechariah chapter 14. Let's finish up here. Look at this. Don't miss this, folks, because we're going to be looking at it next week. Now, if I remember, there's a 75-day period before the commencement of this millennial reign. After the last day of the tribulation, 75 days, millennium begins. And we're going to look at what happens during that 75 days. Now look here in Zechariah 14. Look with me at verse number 8. Remember, he just destroyed all of the enemies of Israel. Verse 8, and it shall be in that day that living waters, I like it, shall go out from where? Jerusalem. From the King of Kings. Half of them toward the former sea, half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be a living river, which brings healing to whatever touches. And the Lord shall be king over some of the earth. No, wrong version. All the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one. Yeah, it's Jesus Christ. And they're going to know it. And all the land shall be turned as a plain. No mountains. From Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem. And it shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place from Benjamin's gate unto the place of the first gate, unto the corner gate, from the tower of Hananiel, unto the king's wine presses. Verse 11, and men shall dwell in it, Jerusalem. And there shall be no more utter destruction. Perfect peace. But Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. No terrorists lobbing missiles into Israel. No Al-Qaeda, no PLO, no Muslim Brotherhood, no Hezbollah, none of these Iranians trying to nuke Israel. No more for 1,000 years. Drop down with me to verse 20. Don't miss this. Verse 20. In that day, There shall be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord. And the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem, representing, that's typifying people, amen, in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts. And all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and seed therein. And in that day there shall be no more the Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. Glory to God. It's going to be glorious, folks. And I want to tell you something. You and I are going to be there. Because we have accepted Jesus as our Savior, we're heading for the kingdom. Amen? We are His bride. Now, I want to give you one more thing in closing. Remember I told you last week in Psalm 18? Psalm 18 is a second advent prophetic context where David is speaking about the Lord coming, rending the heavens and coming down. That's the second advent he's pointing to. What did David want to do for the Lord? He wanted to build a what? A temple. He wanted to build a temple for the Lord. Remember that? And the Lord said, no, David, you've shed too much blood. You can't build my temple. But your son shall build the temple for me. Let me ask you a question. What is one of the titles of Messiah? The son of who?
David's
son shall build the temple. The son of David, Messiah, is going to build the most glorious temple this world has ever seen during the 1,000 years, folks. That's why David couldn't build the temple. Because David is not the Messiah. The son of David is. And the son of David is coming back. And he's going to build a temple like you've never seen before. Glory to God. David was a type of the remnant. The son of David will build that house. And it is going to be something sweet. One last thing before I pray. You and I, the bride of Messiah, we will not be ruled over by Messiah. What man rules over his wife with a bullwhip? No, no, no. You love your bride. You minister to her. You caress her. You take care of her. You treasure her. We are the bride of the Messiah, folks. We are. Let me blow you away. We are going to rule and reign with him. The Jews, they're going to rule and reign the people of the earth. But we are going to rule and reign with Messiah over all the earth.
During the millennium.
During the millennium. Glory to God. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for the eighth stage of the second coming. It's going to be special. Lord, because during this eighth stage, the Bible says you are going to put down every enemy of Israel, every enemy of the Church of Jesus Christ, every enemy of the cross, including that old Antichrist and his ugly bunch. We thank you, Lord, that you will set up that kingdom. You will rule and reign on this world, though they don't know it, for 1,000 years. I thank you, Lord, that in that day there will be worldwide peace, and it will last and it will endure, and even the animal creation will revert back to a peaceful, to a pre-cursed time when there was no curse upon the animal creation, where there was no carnivorous, meat eaters. I thank you, Lord. I can't wait to walk up to a big old male lion with a big mane on, grab him by the mane and stick my arm right down his throat. I'm going to do it, Lord, because the Bible says he can't harm me. There'll be perfect peace. Oh, what a time that will be. Lord, I'm so thankful tonight that we are your bride. Lord, I'm so thankful tonight that we know these things. And Lord, because we know these things, we have an obligation and a responsibility to our fellow man to tell them, to warn them before it's too late. If they find themselves in the midst of this tribulation period we're studying about, it's going to be bad news for them. The Bible says it's going to be a time worse than any time in the history of the world. It's going to be so bad. Lord, we don't want to see anybody but the devil in that tribulation period. But yet the Bible says billions of human beings will go into it. Father, we just pray that you would use us in these last days of the last days to get the message out that Jesus saves. You don't have to go with the devil. You don't have to go into the Antichrist. You don't have to go in the tribulation period. You can get raptured out with the bride of Christ by simply trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior from sin today, while it's called today. The night cometh when no man worketh, the Bible says. And, oh Lord, that night is coming so quickly. We see the darkness permeating every area, every crack and crevice of society today. We see Satanism on the rise. We see witchcraft. We see the occult and the cults spreading like wildfire. And, oh, Lord, you said that we are shining lights in a world of darkness. Lord, let us warn the lost. Let us warn them before they get stoned with 120-pound hailstones for blasphemy. Lord, that's coming. The Bible says so. And we don't want to see them suffer the wrath of God. We want to see them come to you. We want to see this church filled up. We want to see standing room only in here. We want to see people coming to the altar in tears and repentance and coming back to the Lord Jesus Christ the way you want, Father. We want to see revival in America. And you can bring it, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would work through this little church to spread the light of the gospel of Christ before it's too late. We thank you for all of the blessings, Lord. Thank you for the testimonies tonight. Thank you for the singing. Thank you for the messages, Lord. Thank you, dear Lord, that you were in that ship this morning we saw on that stormy sea. You brought them to this harbor, their safe haven. Oh, thank you, Lord, that you're in our ship. Thank you, Lord, that you won't forsake us. You won't leave us to ourselves. You will hold us by the hand every step of the way. Hey, Lord, we can leave church tonight with boldness and confidence, knowing that Jesus is in control of my life. I've taken my hands off. I've handed over the reins of my heart and life and will to the Lord Jesus Christ to be controlled by His Holy Spirit, period. I don't need religion. I don't need a priest. I've got the high priest, Jesus Christ. And I have His Holy Spirit to lead me and guide me and strengthen me and sanctify me in my daily walk. Thank you for it all tonight in Jesus Christ's name. The people said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, people. Let's stand. Grab our hymnals. We will sing one in closing. If I can find my hymnal. The enemy didn't like that message tonight. Yes. The 12 gates. Yeah, that. Somebody's back there talking.
Praise the Lord.
I'm coming, church.
We're waiting.
Oh, praise the Lord. All righty. Yeah, that sounds like a good study.
It would be involved for you.
67. Yeah, but you know I love studying. Hymn 67, folks. We'll finish up. Jesus paid it all. Amen? So glad that He did. We'll sing 1st, 2nd, and 4th. Awesome song to close with. Anybody wants to go out to eat with us?
I hear the Savior say,
oh,
thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Thank you, Lord. On the second.
Now indeed I find thy power in thine alone, and change the leper's thoughts and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all, all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson. White as snow.
Glory. On the fourth. Time out, church. Look at it. And when before the throne I stand, in Him complete, Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all.
When before the throne I stand in Him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all.
Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Brother Mike, if you could dismiss us in prayer tonight. Glory to God.
Lord, we thank you for this time that we can gather, Lord. Lord.
Sorry?
Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that we have you to watch over us, Lord, and to guide us in all that we say. We just pray that we'd dedicate our hearts to you, that we'd just heed your word, Lord, and listen to you. We thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us and all your provision. In Jesus' name, pray.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody who can join us for at the Pizza Man, we're going to feast out.
Isn't that over by where?
Take a left.
On the road here.
Left on 3A. And it's on the right. Can't miss it. You coming?
If I can find it, absolutely.
Yeah, I got you. Absolutely. I'm celebrating tonight.
So they're out of the parking lot.
Yeah, to the left.
Rob, when I'm out of this parking lot, I always go left. So if I'm going to go left and go all the way past the fire station, which way do I go, left or right?
For the Pizza Man? Go out here.
Oh, wait a minute. I know where it is now.
Yeah, man. Just take a left. It's on the right.
Hey, Rob, I always said that Sarah, just need information from manager like that. Don't
you give her a copy of our
music?
Not at all. She'll like that.
I'm going to end up...
I guess not.
Original? Original music?
Yeah, it's all original music. Woo-hoo-hoo.
Nice! I'd like to hear that myself.
Five songs. Three of them, two of them are...
Praise the Lord, brother. Yeah.
I'm going to go over to our drummer's house. I'm going to end up bringing like 10 discs with me.
Oh, so, yeah. Give me a disc, Paul.
After today, I ended up giving 4 away today. After today, well, I just found that the more I study the Bible, the more people I see are in trouble.
Oh. I know, man. It's like scary.
So during the millennium, we're going to be with Christ and there'll be people under us.
Yes, yes, because we are going to have positions of authority during the 1,000 years. We're going to be like over cities and area, geographical areas.
So we'll be like police cars.
Well, sort of, but we'll have our glorified bodies. We'll be indestructible.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Nice, nice.
But yes, anyways, that's why my comment about God is just everything you got, not just one or two.
Yeah, amen.
Oh, by the way, I've already asked 3 people this today. 2 or 3 people said this today. I want to ask you now.
Yep.
What do you say to somebody who disagrees with you on Islam? Because personally, I believe that they're very evil, very violent. And
oh, yeah, man.
People that I know, either know of or know personally, who are just like,
oh, no, no, no.
I'm like, no, they're not.
They're robbed.
No, there's nothing you can do but pray for them, brother. Because they don't understand that it's a religion of hate.
It is. I mean, like, they blow themselves up against Israel all the time. And every time I try and mention it, they're like, oh, those are 6
And as a result, they're being controlled by demon spirits, and they don't even know it.
They don't even know it?
That's why they when they capture, they behead them. It's demons. They're totally controlled by the enemy.
What about a saved person?
No. If they're saved, then they're the Holy Spirit.
Well, because, like, get this. I know our drummer is saved. Yeah. I know totally he is. I know he's committed to God.
Yeah, man.
However, he's one of them who does not believe that Islam is
Thank you, sir.
but he's one of them that is not myself. And three of us in the band, are like, wait a minute, no, look at what the Quran says. And
yep.
One of our members on our page, I guess he lives now in Northern Carolina, I tried telling him the same thing too. He's like, oh, look at this peaceful. I'm like, no, they're not. So that's two believers that I know of.
I wish they were peaceful.
No, get this, two believers.
Yeah, that's so strange.
True believers.
That's so strange that they would actually think that.
Yeah. And mind you, the kid who lives down in North Carolina who's on our page,
yeah.
You know what he told me last night? He goes, oh, when you teach, you can't be brought fire and brimstone. Well, guess what? Fire and brimstone is my style. I'm not cutting anybody down, but like,
right.
I'm always there trying to just teach them this the way it is every Thursday morning.
Yeah, a lot of people want you to speak softly.
That's exactly what he's
sweet.
Like. But he's like, you know what? That's
it's not me.
It's not me.
Oh, boy. They want to have their ears tickled.
It's like, I know this kid's Buddhist guy. I know he is. But it's just like, I don't know what to say to him.
Mm.
I mean, like, you can go through the entire book, Christ is tough. If you say he uses this very soft book and God the Father was tough, then guess what? You got a huge controversial issue with the Godhead.
Yep. I believe Jesus spoke with a booming voice. Hazan, when he went into the ship in Galilee and they were all on the shore, nobody had trouble hearing him.
How about this one? Ready? How about
he was a man.
How about when he told a rich guy, go sell your stuff, give the money to the poor, come follow me. Was that not tough?
Exactly.
The guy he told him like a book.
How about when he went into the temple, took the money changers and took him by the neck and threw him out of the temple, physically.
How about when he cursed the tree and it didn't produce any more
fruit? Yeah, I mean, he was a man.
How about when he cried out with a loud voice, it's finished on the cross?
Yep. Oh, yeah. Just to endure that cross, you'd have to be quite a man.
So it's like, I'm actually happy at this moment that I have somebody to stand in agreement with me on that because it's like...
100%, brother.
It's like, what the heck, people?
Some good reading material if you're interested.
Actually, yeah. I mean, like, are there any, like, articles here besides